It's a sin and honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. So we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple questions, and then we're going to come out with that major yesod, that major foundation point that we could bring into our lives in a very real way. The Torah starts off in Perek Yigimel, Pasuk Yizayin. Klal Yisrael is getting out of Mitzrayim, finally, after 210 years. Last week we had the three of the last of the Makos, and the Torah starts off by Yi Bisharach Paro Esa'am, and Paro sends out the people, Velo Nachon Elokim Derech Eretz Plishtim, that the people did not lead them by the way of the hand of the Plishtim. Ki Karovu, it was near, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ki Amar Elokim, we know Paro was chasing after them, and they're getting out of Mitzrayim. And all Moshe Rabbeinu does, right in the beginning, Pasuk Yutes, it says, Vayikach Moshe et Atzmos Yosef. And Moshe takes the bones of Yosef. He's so focused on taking the bones of Yosef out. And then you read a little further, and Paro's coming at Klal Yisrael. As we all know, that we're going to read the famous Az Yashir in this week's Parsha, which we'll talk about. And it's amazing. It says in Perek Yudal Pasuk Zayin, Vayikach Sheish Meod Rechev. Paro took 600 chariots. Ask Ebenezer, I don't get it. We know last week's Parsha, Makas Choshech, four-fifths of Klal Yisrael died out. However, if you do the math, Rashi does the math, there were 600,000 Jews that were there. Ask Ebenezer, one of the most famous questions that the Ebenezer asks. He said, I don't get it. 600,000 versus 600. That's the math, if you do the math. What is that, 1 to 1,000? So we're doing 1 to 1,000. If there are 600 chariots coming at you and you have 600,000 people, you put 1,000 people on one. How come Klal Yisrael just doesn't turn around, ask Ibn Ezra, and just destroy Paro and Mitzrayim? Question one. Question two. We read Az Yashir every day. We have the zechus of reading Az Yashir. It's actually interesting because the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, which we all know, or your friends have told you, that if you are running a little late, not that you're running late, but the other people are more time. I know I say that joke a lot, but it's funny. Perek Tesvav Pasuk Aleph, you're supposed to say Az Yashir. However, if you're running late, the halacha is you skip Az Yashir. But why is that? Az Yashir, the Mishnah Berurah brings down in Shulchan Aruch, that you have to feel like you're really leaving Yom Suf. So wouldn't you think that Az Yashir is one of the most important things to say in Pesukei Dezimra? Why would you skip it out? And furthermore, the Beis Halevi says beautifully, he says the word Az is coming from Az. Where is it coming from? In Perek Hey, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to Paro for the first time. And it says the Pasuk, May Az Bati, that I'm coming to you. And we know Paro denied him. Says the Beis Halevi, word Az. And lastly, in this section, I know I'm asking a lot of questions in this section, it's a little not fair what I'm doing, but it's okay. Miriam brings her drums with her. Right after the Shira, Miriam brings her drums. Why does Miriam have drums with her? You know, I don't know the last time you guys had drums just hanging out in your pocket. You know, I once was saying this to the Shir, and the guy started banging on the table, and I said, no. He had actual drums. Like, why does Miriam have drums? And lastly, question three, even though I asked a lot of questions in that little section, but in section three, again, this Parsha is so jam-packed, there's so much to do. We learn about the Mun. It says in Perek Tev Zayin, Pasuk Dalid, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Hinenei Mamtir Lechem, Lachem, Lachem, Min HaShemayim. The Chida says that what's the bracha of Mun? HaMotzi Lechem Min HaShemayim. Right, we say when we have bread, HaMotzi Lechem Min HaAretz, but HaMotzi Lechem Min HaShemayim. And then it says something very fascinating. It says, Liman Anitzenu, that I'm going to test you. Why is the Mun a test? So Rashi says that the Mun's a test because they're finally going to get food and they're going to be tested with the different halachas about the Mun. But why would the Mun, again, we were taught as children, that when you get the Mun, you think whatever you want. Right? Don't think you're Basi B'chalov. But you think of whatever you want. So you think of that steak, you're in an ice cream mood, whatever you want to think. That's a test.
I don't know if that's a test. I think it's amazing. So what does that mean, Lamont Ennis Center? Okay, so let's just review, and then we'll try to get into that. So the first question, number one, was Ibn Ezra's question. How come Klal Yisrael just didn't turn around and kill the Mitzrim? They totally outnumbered them. Question two, as Yashir Moshe, what is this Shira about? How come we have to, why do we skip it if a person is running late for Pesukei de Zimra? What is this Medrash, Mi'az Bati and Az Yashir? Question three, why does it say by Mon that it's Niseti? Why is it a test? It seems like the Mon is not a test at all. So again, there's a lot of Yisaitis, and we'll try to bring it all together. We'll tell stories, right? They say that Rav Nachum Breslov says that stories put the non-Jews to sleep, and Jews wake up to stories, as we all know. But we'll tell some stories, but comes along Ibn Ezra and he says an amazing idea. He says, why is it that Klal Yisrael just didn't turn around and kill the Mitzrim? It doesn't make so much sense. They should have just turned around and killed them. Says Ibn Ezra, think about it. For 210 years, these Jews were slaves to the Egyptians. For 210 years. They had a slave mentality. They couldn't break out of it. They thought they were nothing. They were told to do certain jobs. They were beaten down. So how could they beat out the Mitzrim? Even though they totally outnumbered them, a lot of times our mentality, what we think, affects who we are. So since these Jews were slaves to these taskmasters, to these Mitzrim, they couldn't break out of it. Ibn Ezra says another comment similar to this. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, where did Moshe Rabbeinu come from? He came from the house of Paro. We know Basra saved him, and he was put in the house of Paro. Again, there were different midrashim, right? Paro gave him gold, and he gave him coals, and he went to the coals, he burned his tongue, but he grew up in the house of royalty. Says Ibn Ezra, since Moshe Rabbeinu, he needed to grow up in the house of royalty. Why? Because since he needed to take out Klal Yisrael, he needed to hold of himself. If he felt he was just a slave like the rest of the Jews, he would not have been able to hold of himself. And therefore, he wouldn't have been able to do it. So says Ibn Ezra, it's all in one's mental capacity. A person needs to make action, but a person needs to hold of himself. A person needs to be, to realize he could do it. They tell a great mashal that, maybe you heard this mashal before, that in Asia they still use elephants. They travel with elephants. And it doesn't make sense. An elephant is a big animal. They could do whatever they want. And they still use elephants. And what's the idea? How come an elephant doesn't just like break through and just, he's big, he's a couple tons. So the idea is that when the elephant is very young, they take a very strong rope and they tie the elephant to the rope, and therefore he creates in his mind, again, whatever mind the elephant has, he can't break out. So then when he keeps on getting bigger and bigger and bigger, he never thinks he could break out. So he could be 3 tons, and all he needs to do is just move a little, and he'll break out, and he doesn't know how to do that, because he has the mentality that I'm stuck. There's documented stories that there was a fire once in Ringling Brothers Circus, in the circus, and an elephant broke out, and he realized, wow, I could just break out. And they were not able to get that elephant anymore, because he changed his whole mentality. So Ibn Ezra is telling us a big thing. It's important because we have to hold of ourselves. Sometimes it's hard for us to hold of ourselves. We have to look at the positive. We have to look at what we're doing. Right? Just recently, a Talmud said, we're talking about basketball. Everyone knows I like basketball. I haven't been playing so much this year. I'm a little out of shape, as they say, rounds of shape. But I'm a little out of shape. And I haven't played basketball in a long time. And one of my Talmudim, our Yisirul, just said, Rabloom, you have to believe in yourself. You're a decent ball player. I'll tell you one time, I was in 8th grade. I'm reliving the moment. I don't know if I ever told this story before. I might have. Anyone that listens on YU Torah, maybe you heard this before. But it's a very interesting story. It's not me beating up anyone on one-on-one with the Talmidim, with the Delio. It's a new story. I was on the basketball team in 8th grade. And we were playing against, I remember, Kushner. They were much better than us. right? My uncle Ira and Dora, right? Kushner. And related to the Kushner family, Baruch Hashem, I spoke about Thanksgivings. Right? Me and Jared back in the day, we played a little ball, a little Game Boy. But we're playing against Kushner. They were much better than us. And I remember I was playing, and the captain of my team threw me a pass. I was wide open. And I literally took the ball and I like threw it against the backboard. And like he yelled at me. And he said, "See, you can't hit a layup." And I said, "Yeah, bring it on." That game was, I still remember it, I was 8th grade, a long time ago already. Every single time, I think I scored 10 points, we were down by, I was hitting every shot, I was taking shots, I had a lot of confidence because I wanted to show the captain I'm going to be okay. We were down by one with a minute and a half left. And it was a really back and forth game. The ball comes to me, pass it around. I'm wide open for the jump shot. Normally, I wouldn't have taken that jump shot. I took it for some reason, and it went in. And we won that game, and like it was like a big celebration. Now, what's the idea there? Why? Because I told myself I couldn't do it. But really, if a person believes in themselves, they could do whatever they want. If a person believes that they could accomplish and they set their mind to it, again, sometimes our motivation is down, right? Recently, we just had a pre-shear from one of the Talmidim, Yissi Nenner. He just gave a pre-shear that he was talking about motivation, how to motivate. Sometimes you just got to go for it. You can't just start thinking, am I going to do it? Am I not going to do it? You just got to go for it. And if a person just goes for it, again, he's sometimes going to fall. But the more a person pushes and he says, I could do it, then he doesn't give up. I always tell this mashal, and it's an amazing mashal. I actually once spoke in Eishet Torah, and I used this mashal, and a guy came over to me after, and he says, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not that personnel. I'll tell you the mashal, the four-minute mile. No one was able to run the mile in less than 4 minutes. People were getting very close, very close. Pavel Nora got it 4 minutes and 3 seconds. Finally, a man by the name of Roger Bannister, May 6, 1954, in the Iffley Road Trail. You can look it up, Google it. In the Iffley Road Trail, broke the 4 minute mile, and he ran the mile less than 4 minutes. That's amazing. Roger Bannister, people know history. That's amazing. However, you know what the greatness of that story was? That year, 26 more people broke the 4 minute mile. That shows you something. That shows you that the more a person believes in themselves, they could accomplish. That guy that I just told you, Pavel Nora, he was not able to do it again and again. Four minutes and 3 seconds. 4 minutes and 2 seconds. When he saw Roger Bannister break the 4 minute mile, the next time that he ran the 4 minute mile, he broke it. That just shows you. It's Ibn Ezra. It's all coming from Ibn Ezra. It's all about the Yisayif coming from the Torah. Hafayit bo v'kulabo. You know why Klal Yisrael couldn't turn around and tell Mitzrayim, I'm going to destroy you? It's because they had a slave mentality. They told themselves that they're not able to do it. They're not able to accomplish, but they're able to accomplish. You know, sometimes when we have big goals, we keep on just looking at the goals. And we don't look at the little progress that we're making. The Netziv says something gevaldik. He says, how come Klal Yisrael didn't just get the Torah right away? Says the Netziv, you know why? Because there was a process, little by little. But a person needs to look at his achievements. He needs to look at his accomplishments. As Shmayahu Brown, he also gave a pre-share a couple weeks ago. He said, it's not just enough to just look at the end. You got to look where you are right now and see what you're doing and seeing how you're accomplishing. Kriyas Yamsuf. What's Kriyas Yamsuf about? They had the Yamsuf on one hand and the Mitzrim on the other. They couldn't destroy the Mitzrim, as we just said, they had a slave mentality, and they had the Yamsuf on the other side, and they didn't know what to do. They just saw the most amazing miracles of the Esar Makos, and all of a sudden it says, Vayiminu Hashem uvimoshe avdo. They had emunah. They just went for it. Where did this come from? So the Mefarshim explained that the idea of Shira, again, you don't find Shira you find different Shiras in the Torah, but Shira is a spontaneous idea that you just experience something and you just need to channel it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't know where to go.
The Medrash says that they turned to the Ribono Shel Olam and said, Hashem, help me. Get me out of this mess. I know you're with me. I know you're in my life. Get me out of this mess. And as we know, they walked into the Yam Suf and it split for them. And the Pasuk says, Az Yashir Moshe, and it says, what does the Pasuk say? It says, Lifne, it says Hashem. Az Yashir Moshe, Ubnei Yisrael, Etz Ashir Azos, La Hashem. Says the amazing Medrash. It says La Hashem and not Bnei Adam. What does that mean, La Hashem and not Bnei Adam? It means that there were, says the Medrash, that there were two things going on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not able to reveal himself. He was with them in Mitzrayim, but when they were able to get out of Mitzrayim completely, and they got out of the Yam Suf, Hashem says, oh, my Shekhinah is going to be with you. Soon you're going to be able to get the Torah. Soon we're going to really make this relationship real. As we know, as I often quote the Relevi Bardichev, he says a Gevaldic thing. He says we have this dual relationship. We give to God, and God gives to us. And sometimes it's hard for us. God's not a physical being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our lives, but as the Kutzker say, where's God? God is wherever you're going to let him in. You know, my 2.5, I always talk about stories of my 2.5-year-old, you know, or Chaim Zev, named after my grandfather, or Chaim Zev Bamzer Zatzal. And he came, he said to me, the best question in the world, Tati, where's Hashem? 2.5-year-old. Where's Hashem? I said, Hashem is here. Hashem is there, Hashem. I was trying to do the Uncle Mechi song, he did an Uncle Mechi. And then he's like, no, Tati, where's Hashem? I said, everywhere. He's like, where? I said, everywhere. He's like, yeah? I said, yes. Hashem is where you want to bring him in. Even with my, you know, I tell Siyata Dishmaya stories. I still write it down. Again, sometimes I'm a little behind, but I tell Siyata Dishmaya stories. Recently, just last week, Zeicha Tabim, me and my family came to yeshiva. Baruch Hashem, yeah, we got to yeshiva. They took out our fear because the last time we came to yeshiva, we got stopped by police. But me and my family, we came and I took out our fear and we got there okay. B'siyata d'shmaya. But when I was trying to get, I didn't even tell this story yet, but when I was trying to put on my parshas here on Thursday night, my internet went down. And I was so frustrated. You know, for the past year, I've been putting on parshas shears. Baruch Hashem, you know, they've been going good. Obviously, I want to get feedback from the Olam, try to make them better. And I couldn't, it wasn't going on. The internet was working, but it was, Bezek came like 3 times already. It was working a little, but it wasn't going on straight. And in order to upload a shear, you need to have 4 minutes straight. And it was just not working. And I was so tired. It was 11:30 at night. And I didn't know what to do. And I'm like, okay. But I needed to do a shtadlus. I needed to do something. So I call up my neighbor and he says, sure, come over. And then his internet wasn't working. So I didn't know what to do. Obviously, the time that I went to his house, obviously my internet, my daughter told me when I came home that the internet was working the whole time. I'm like, obviously. So I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to try again. I'm trying again. I put it in and I'm like counting. I'm like, come on, go 50%, 60%. It gets to 90% and I'm like, come on, another 30 seconds. You know, like when you're just waiting for those moments. And then finally it goes on, I hit the button, connect, it works. 10 seconds later, the internet goes down. It was amazing. So again, you could just say that's a story, it's a coincidence, you got lucky. We don't believe in luck. We believe that the Ribono Shel Olam is in our lives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us every second. And that's the Shira. The Shira LaHashem, that we have a spontaneous, and we just pour our hearts to Hashem. And again, tefillah is hard. How do I know tefillah is hard? The Gemara says tefillah is hard. Tefillah is hard sometimes. It's hard to talk to the Ribono Shel Olam. We don't, again, but the more a person brings him in, the more a person reaches out and davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world, every week, is a new thing with Corona. It's been going on for so long. This is the time last year. I would love to hear my shiur last year, to hear, you know, you hear the shiur from last year when they were starting to talk about Corona and all the different things of what it is, what it's not, and we still don't know. Again, there's a vaccine, Mitzvah Shem, right, with the brachas of the Gedolim, that it should be good and everyone should get the vaccine. But a person just needs to daven. They need to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for health, for happiness. That's what it's all about. Zekei Livan Veyu. Rashi brings down from the Targum, what does it mean, Zekei Livan Veyu? That it either means a bias, it means a base Knesset, a sanctuary, or it means noi, it means beauty. They're not contradictions, they're within each other. A person needs to build within himself. this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in his life. And the more a person brings Hashem into his life, the greater his life is going to be. So how do I bring Hashem into my life? I do chesed. I learn Torah. I help another person. I daven. I reach out to God. You know, the second year boys had zechus to hear from Rav Herschel Schachter, the Rosh Kollel, the Yeshiva University. And I had zechus, I was able to, the Rosh Hashiva Maaser, Rav Eisenstein led the first part. And then I was able to lead some of the questions that the boys were asking. And he said something amazing, though. He says, the Rosh Hashiva, Rav Eisenstein asked him, how did you get turned on? Were you like a regular guy? Were you learning when you were 4 years old? You know, were you learning? How did it happen? And he said, yeah, I was a regular. He went to public school. I had no clue that he ever, he went to public school, Rav Schachter. Kol HaTorah. He went to public school. And he said, all I know is that my father, who was also a rabbi, was Rosh Yeshiva NYU, all he was doing was always learning. The more a person learns and brings God into his life and davens, again, we're not living for we're living for our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the more a person fills himself up with that relationship with Hashem, the more it's gonna be an overflow glass. It's gonna pour over to the generation. Last week we spoke about the Mesorah just going from one generation to the next. That's what it's about. You know, with my parents and my in-laws, you know, giving over. It's the idea of making Hashem real, making him part of your life. So what's the Nisesi? What's the Mun? What was the test of the Mun? Really, Mun was a test? So comes the Ohr HaChaim HaKadosh and he says, no, you know why Mun was a big test? Similar to what we said last week. The Mun was a test because they finally, all their food was prepared for them. Now they had more time on their hand. Since they had more time on their hand, they were able to do more things. But sometimes when you have more time on your hands, it could lead to bad things. Similar to what we were saying last week, the Arba. Why Paro wanted that Arba to get out. Because 1 second, time is important, and we know time is important. But we have to make the best of our time. So says the Ohr HaChaim, it was the fact that we had extra time. But comes the Ramban says a very famous comment. He says, no, you know what the test was? Is that sometimes when you have everything good, and things are going so well, and you have your meals, and you have everything going for you, you have the food, says the Ramban, you have to bring the Bitachon into your life. You have to make the Bitachon real. You have to make the Ribono Shel Olam into your life. That's not easy. Especially when a person's pushed against the wall and he's dealing with a sorrow, again, you have nowhere to turn. That's why the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, if tefillah is a deraisa, derabbanan, every Rishon says that if you're an esorah, if you're in a time of pain, it's deraisa. However, a person, Rav Soloveitchik said that a person always needs to feel that he needs HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but sometimes when things are going well, it's hard to turn to Hashem. But no, the idea is that even when things are going well, you have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in your life. As the Gemara tells us in Brachos, and Nafsama, Korach, Manu, Latabavid, everything the Ribono Shel Olam is doing for us is for our good. And again, we have a limited vision. We don't fully understand. Says the Beis HaLevi, what is the Medrash Az? Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro and Paro said, I'm not letting you go. Get out of here. May Az Bati. Says the Beis HaLevi, but then we have another word, Az. Az. It went in hard. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to leave the people. Hashem said, you're going to leave the people. He comes. And Paro says, no way, get out of here. Who's your God? Who are you? And then back and forth. But then this week's parsha, we have the Shira. The Shira represents as Yashir, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, in our limited way, we don't always understand everything. But as says the Beis HaLevi, because the Ribono Shel Olam loves us. Rav Soloveitchik often would say an amazing example. You know, you have those people. You know, I'm a car, so I go on the bus sometimes. You have some people that do the crochets. You know, you do the crochets and you do the whole thing. If you look on the back of the crochet, it's like disgusting. You have X's but if you look on the other picture on the other side, says the Rav, the other picture is beautiful. Says the Rav, that's life also. Again, we have bumps in the road sometimes, but if a person holds on and he realizes that God's part of our life, so there we'll make it amazing. So mi'az. Why did Miriam? Why was she bringing drums? That's strange. You know, most people, they carry their wallet with them. Most people don't bring drums with them. I don't know. I mean, listen, everyone does different things. But most people don't bring drums. Who is Miriam? The Gemara in Sota tells us, Gavaldik. Yocheved and Amram, Moshe Rabbeinu's parents. Amram saw you. The Gemara says he was a gadol ador. Amram said, "Oh, we can't be married to each other anymore. The mitzvah are destroying. They're going to get rid of all the boys." And Miriam came to Amram and said, "Not only are you destroying the boys, you're destroying the girls also. The fact that you're not married together, get married again." Miriam was the person that never gave up. Miriam never had yayush. She said, "Amram, get up." She didn't say get up to her father. She said, "Father, please get up," right? So, and he got back with Yochanan. And then they had Moshe Rabbeinu. And she's the person that never gave up. You know why she had her drums? She had her drums because she always knew that the Gula was going to come. She knew. She felt it. Ah, there's a Yamsuf in front on one side and the Mitzvah on the other. What's going to be? But she had that bitacho, and she was able to pass the test that we were saying in the month. She was able to pass the test of the Nisesi and realize that I'm going to push through because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in my life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything for me. So how can we make it practical? I think one way we can make it practical. Baruch Hashem, we're davening, we're reaching out to God and trying to get close to Him, especially in Eretz Yisrael. We're zeichet to be in Eretz Yisrael. You know, the airports are closed now. No one can get in anywhere. But we're in Eretz Yisrael learning, and our tefillahs are accepted the most in Eretz Yisrael. Again, in America also they're accepted. No one should be afraid. But they're accepted the most. We have Yerushalayim. We have the Beis Hamikdash in this place, and we have to daven that it comes. But I think before, we have three times a day Shemona Esrei. I think 1 minute before Shemona Esrei, a person needs to sit with himself. Just think about it. Sometimes all it takes is 30 seconds. And just reach out to Hashem and thank Hashem for at least two things that He's given you. Two things. Something that means real to you. Ask Him to continue to be healthy. Ask Him to continue to have friends, a healthy family, whatever a person wants to daven for. But make HaKadosh Baruch Hu part of your life. So that's the Yisoid. The Yisoid is that a person needs to get out of the slave mentality. He needs to hold of himself. He needs to see the greatness, and even if a person falls, he can't look at the falling, he can't have yayush, he needs to learn from a Miriam. A Miriam is a person that never gives up, and we can't give up. We need to realize, as Yashir Moshe, as says the Beis Halevi. Why? Because even if it's difficult, realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in our lives, and He'll get us to the Az Yashir, He'll get us to that spontaneous Shir LaHashem. I have a daughter, Shira Miriam, my oldest daughter, Baruch Hashem. She's named Shira Miriam because Miriam is that person. I remember one of my Rebbeim, we love the name Shira, and we named her Miriam because my Rebbe, Rav Elk, he said to me, the Gemara says in Baba Basra, that when you start off with girls, Bezer Hashem, you'll have boys. I never thought I'd have boys, right? But you'll have beautiful girls, and then you'll have boys, and it's Hashem. Right, it'll be good for everyone, and that's why we name her Shira Miriam, the spontaneous reaching out to the Rabbona Shom. And that's what we need to do. And as the Mon, even if things are going great, and hopefully it should be great for everyone, just keep on reaching out to the Rabbona Shom. Realize that the Nisesi sometimes is when things are good. Always reach out to Hashem. Because Hashem, everyone should have an amazing part as B'Shalach and as Yashir. So why is it? Why is it that we skip as Yashir if we're late? Because to get to that level of Az Yashir, you need a build-up of Psukei Dezimra. If you're running late, you're not going to get to the Az Yashir. So a person needs to have the build-up of the praise of Hashem. Wow! Hallelujah is that Hashem has given me so much. Our person needs to work on his tefillah. Right, Uncle G? Give a shout out to Uncle G. How he always tells me, he keeps on always working on his tefillah. And we all have to work on our tefillah, realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is part of our lives. This is Hashem. Let's have an Az Yashir. Let's have a Shir LaHashem. And let us keep on getting closer and closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam.